I don't think a definition of success is a stable thing. I think your definition of success has to continuously change. Sometimes success is an exciting thing, and sometimes success is really boring. I was going through this really weird time around the age of 24, and I needed a way to tangibly process it. So I was like, well, let me just buy a big ass canvas and some Sharpies, and I'm gonna make this painting, drawing thing. And a really fun fact, which is not that fun, is Sharpie fades really, really quickly in the sunlight. And so I hung up this huge drawing of this woman laying on her side, and it started to fade within 6 months. And so I was like, well, it's already ruined, so I'm gonna buy some paint and maybe paint over it and see how that turns out. And I fell in love. And so then I was like, well, let me now try making another painting that is not pre-drawn. And it failed horribly. It was so bad. And I got so angry that I just kind of like started attacking the canvas, and slowly it turned into my first abstract work. And it was all out of this place of, this is failing. Like, why? I don't want to have to rely on drawing something first. And all of a sudden I started to realize, oh, I can manipulate color and texture in the same way that I could in other things, like if you're in the theater, the way that you build lighting and set design, and you work with the actors and the emotion and the way everything kind of comes together, you then create this emotional image. And so I posted this one random abstract painting I made, and out of nowhere, within 2 hours, I got my first commission. And it was this crazy experience of like, huh? Oh, people actually can like, do, okay, sure. I think I charged only $100. So I definitely lost money on this commission between materials and paint and all the things. I 100% lost money, but the joy it brought my friend, and it all kind of started snowballing, and I kept coming up against all of these moments of, well, how do I discover my style? I don't know anything about abstract art. I'm not a painter. I'm not any of this. I was a theater teacher, a theater director. I had just left the acting industry, and I was directing full time, and I was working a lot off Broadway. But visual art was just like a way of processing, and it was a way of being able to create something that was solid when I was living in a career that was something that would pass by, right? On the stage, what you see that night is the only version of that that you're going to experience. And I started to realize that with painting, I was able to take that experience that we feel and make it something tangible and make it something that is there. So it's not portraiture, it's not photography, but it's the way that our memory can work in terms of, we don't remember all the details of our experiences, but the things that we do remember is how we felt about them. And through that trial and error, I ended up finding what was my version of painting, and how I was able to service people and bring a little bit of beauty into the world and take those small moments and make them really important and really big. And then like my painting titles came in. At first I was like, I have to be fancy. I have to be like Untitled 3, or just like Sunset, Orange, Brain Activity. And slowly I realized that like, oh no, I don't give a shit about that. I want to know why this painting exists. And then my titles started turning into things like, I'd keep flowers in my kitchen, but my cat would eat them. Or my friend is dating a neuroscientist, and now all I can think about is how the brain maps time. Or, like, I recently made a painting called David Went to the Theater and He Didn't Think It Would Make Him Cry. And another, like, really fun one, which is really stupid, is some days I just really crave a German potato salad, you know, the kind with apples in it. So it's these ways of being like, yeah, this is what the feeling is. So the way that my commission process works now, I have a call with the client and I ask them, you know, what do you want the painting to evoke? What do you want the inspiration of the painting to be? And it could be a hyper-specific memory. It can be a wish. It could be anything you want. And based on what they tell me, I then will create the title inspired by what they have shared. Because I like when the titles feel like a story within themselves, you know? And we'll obviously also talk about colors. And then I also paint to sound. So they provide me with the music that I listen to. And for some people, the music is a really important part of it. And others are just like, ah, here's a playlist. So there's all these different elements that come together inside of building these works and the titles. And I think it's a total package, how it all comes together. So I had this one commission and you know, this woman, she had seen my work at the Super Fair and none of my paintings, she loved my style and she loved my use of color, but it didn't seem like any of those specific paintings were connecting for her. And I said, okay, well, great. So you know, my bread and butter is actually in commissions and I can make a work inspired by your story and your music. And she got really excited about it. And so we set up a meeting and she was very, very broad. She showed me around her home and was like, this is where the painting is going to go. And she also sent me versions of my work that she had loved, certain paintings of mine, and she couldn't buy them because they were other commissions. And one of the big themes in all of the paintings was the color green. And there was a lot of green in all of the works. And you know, she spoke about nature and walking in the woods and this lake house. And I was like, oh, great. So letting this kind of be this green forward painting feels very right. And I created the work and all the things and I presented to her and she came and picked it up from my studio. And I stood there and I'm holding this, you know, 4 by 5 foot painting, which is massive, that I'd just been working on. And she was supposed to take it home. And all the experiences I've had with art lately have been like, oh my God, this is amazing. Wow, thank you. It's so beautiful. And this was not that experience. She stood and she looked at it and she was like, I don't think I like the color green. I don't know what to do. I don't think I knew that about myself. And all of a sudden, I was in this place of, oh, I've never come across this. I don't know how to deal with this. And it was, you know, that kind of feeling of like failure is not an option. And I have failed this client. So that whole commission experience, while I sat and I was upset and frustrated, and I spent the, you know, the afternoon being like, well, screw you, Jane Austen, like you're the one that wasn't specific with me and me. And it's like, no, I'm the artist. I'm the one in charge. And it's also my business. Not in terms of like, that's my tea. Like, this is literally my business. This is the thing I'm building a career out of. So I said to her, you know, I've never come across this, which don't ever say that. Cause then she was like, oh my God, I'm a terrible person. I was like, no, you're not horrible, but I'm going to need a little bit of time. If you can give me like 24 hours to figure this out. And I was like, how about you let me keep this painting and you give me the right to sell it and I will retitle it. So it's not personal to you. And I will all you have to do is cover the costs of materials. And we're going to have another conversation. And we're both going to be more specific. And she was like, okay. And I created a new work for her. And it was her dream piece. And it, you know, she'll send me a photo of it maybe once every other year now because of moving apartments or moving it to a new location. And she's like, I just want you to see where it exists now. And it turned out being really, really great. And funny enough, the green painting sold a week later. And it was just kind of this lovely domino effect that through this, she was able to understand something about herself. And she was able to start to see, for some reason, the color green makes me sad. And it helped me be like, how could I have been more specific in the conversation that I have? How can I ask more about, when you think of the woods, what is it about the woods that takes you? Is it the visual? Is it the feeling? Talk to me about colors. Like, you can't just say green. Is it, do you love dark green, olive green, sage green? Who knows, right? So it created this interesting domino effect of how I can actually be better in my own interviews. And then it also led me on a technical level to be like, I have to make a contract. I have to create a document that states, in the chance that you do not connect to this painting that I've created for you, here are the steps that we can take to remedy that. And that was just not something that I ever had thought of. And because of this whole experience, I suddenly realized, now I'm a professional. Because I think you're only a professional when you know that there has to be room for error. Being professional does not only mean success and things are working out. It's knowing that you are going to make a mistake and you are going to fail, and thank God for those moments, because that's the only way you're going to be able to grow and learn and protect anybody that you are going to work with in the future as well. My studio was in my apartment, in my little 520 square foot apartment, and I had this little space inside of it that I turned into this painting studio, and it had the best light. And I would wake up in the morning around 6 or 7 a.m., and I would go in there and paint. And these few hours before I had to go teach or rehearse or anything along those lines became really sacred. And I loved waking up in the morning and creating, because the world hadn't kind of gotten in the way yet, right? You're just awake and the first thing you're experiencing is coffee and color. I was finding that having that time only helped the rest of my day, helped the rest of my creative process when I was working with actors and producers and designers. And, you know, as painting became more and more, and I was getting more commissions, and it stopped being, you know, 20% income and of art and then 80% theater, and slowly it became 40-60, and then it was 50-50, and pandemic hit, and then it became 90-10, you know? And, well, funny enough, there was some Zoom version of theater happening. And I was teaching classes via Zoom, and I did a whole Shakespeare on the internet workshop, which was actually really fun. Because no one was spending money and everyone was staring at their empty walls and their IKEA art, they were like, well, I have the money now to invest in art, to invest in my home. And I was already painting a lot, but that is when things exploded for me. And I had to become a business because I started making the amount of money that was more than what is deemed by the government as a hobby. And everything just kept going and going and going. And it's this really interesting moment where you have to say, I have these two careers, I guess, right? Or these two passions, and figuring out what to lead with was this huge conversation with myself. And I found that I was, even prior to pandemic, starting to feel a little weird with theater, and, you know, the world was on fire. And a lot of times when you're applying for grants or residencies or a job, everything's very politically based, right? It's always like, well, why now? Why create this show now? And I was very much from the place of, I just want to bring things that are a little bit beautiful into the world. And that just wasn't enough. And I just constantly felt like I was failing, right? I constantly felt like every single application I did was not accepted, was not this, was not that. And it's just because I don't fit this very specific niche that theater is at the moment. And I was sitting and thinking about that. And then I realized, but you know where that does thrive? Is in art. Like, not all art has to be political. I'm not someone fighting to be in a gallery. I'm hoping to get my work into people's homes, and I want to change someone's environment through color. And so kind of said, okay, let's kind of put theater aside for a while and see how I feel. And, you know, 3 months went by, and then 6 months went by, and I was fine. And I actually found there was this new quiet that was entering my life that was really, really wonderful. And I slowly found, like, oh, to me, what a successful life is when my identity is not my career. And I'm able to have this life where I can work and I can create and I can be inspired by life. But at the end of the day, I can sit on a couch with my partner and I can just, you know, enjoy reading a book. To me, all through art, I have found that for me, a successful life is when I feel like I can rest and I don't have to think about it. I'm able to just take the evening, and it's not out of guilt. It's not out of, I'm not doing enough. It's, yeah, I'm doing enough. I'm painting, I'm doing beautiful things. And, you know, I'm now working with the Super Fair and I'm helping other artists with as much as I can. And I'm still kind of creating this mission that I have in life of, oh, I am able to help people through the creative art form. And it doesn't matter what art form. At the moment, it's through visual art. And that's really exciting to me. You know, I love that this study came out however many years ago, and everyone became obsessed with it, right? That every 7 years, every cell in our body regenerates. So every 7 years, we're a completely new being. And I think that that is 100% how we have to operate in our process. Like, the things that you learned in college are not going to work for you now in your 30s, in your 40s, 50s. Maybe the things that worked once upon a time, they're just not going to work anymore. The world is changing. I hope you're changing. I hope you're experiencing life that it causes your opinions on the world to shift and adjust. So to me, if your definition of success is rigid, then you are not going to actually live life, because everything is going to be only in the direction of that. Instead, I think how you have to think about success is, how do you want your life to feel? Does it feel that way right now? Okay, then you are successful. You have to look at failure as part of the roadmap. It is the thing that's going to help you figure out the next step. If you're only successful, you're going to become complacent. You're just going to sit in a world of, this is going to work for me, right? You have to be able to look at things from the place of, I'm going to try this today. And if it works, then I keep trying it. And you try until it doesn't. And then when it doesn't, you take a left turn or a right turn, and you go from there. You know, usually when you're in a new room, you start a job and all the people are there and everyone's like, all right, everyone say your name, where are you from, and tell us a fun fact about you. And there's nothing that makes me want to just crawl into a corner and vomit more than that. And so instead, sorry, that was very graphic. Instead, I always love saying, you know, tell us your name, where you're from, and what's a bad habit that you have. And all of a sudden, you see everybody being like, oh, I do that too. I do that too. I also bite my nails. I also do this. I also do this. And all of a sudden, people are excited to share. And then all of a sudden, someone's like, well, you know, through that, it got to such a bad point that my cuticle started to bleed. And so I did this. And someone's like, wait, you figured out how to fix it? And all of a sudden, people want to hear your success. But if someone comes forward and all they do is be like, I'm amazing. I put a painting on the internet and now I was succeeding. It's kind of like, okay, that's nice for you. And you want to move on, right? We love stories and we love books and we love movies and we love theater because we're watching people fail. We're watching people try to succeed. And then when they do, it's something to celebrate. And so I think that we need the stories of trial and error because that A shows us that it's okay to have trial and error, and B, again, it's the thing that we relate to. I think what people are going to be able to expect from this series is conversations of discovery around how people have dealt with their own failures in a creative industry, and ultimately how it's helped them get to where they are in the moment and helped them figure out how to define where they want to go. So I think it's going to be really fun conversations. I think that there's going to be, I hope, moments of discovery and looking at things maybe in a new light, because we don't often get together and talk about how we failed. I think we always get together and are like, well, this is what's happening in my life and it's really good, right? Everything's from the place of like, oh my God, I'm killing it, right? I got a raise, I'm doing this, I got another painting commission, as opposed to being like, you know, I had a really rough week with painting. I'm really struggling with this one painting and I'm finding it's maybe making me realize that I'm tired of my technique, right? And then to be in that, all of a sudden, someone says, you know, I went through a similar thing, or I went through this, or I went through this, or when I was auditioning, I found that this one song that I kept using for my auditions made me seem unapproachable, right? Like there's all these ways that we're able to suddenly be like, even if you're a painter and I'm a fashion designer, right? Like we're all able to look at our experiences and glean similarities, even in different worlds. And so what I'm hoping that by talking to not only artists, but also people in other creative industries, is going to help people think about their current careers in different lights. Because I think we, you know, if you're only existing inside of your world, if you are an artist and you're only listening and following to other artists, and you're only following other painters on Instagram, you're only going to see folks' success. And then you're going to start only seeing your failures. So how can we constantly relate to other worlds and ask people really what's going on with their creative process? What was going on with their process? Where are they now? That will help us kind of see that the roadmap is actually what is successful. It's not the final product. The final product's lovely. Don't get me wrong. I love finishing a painting. But it's like when you read a book. The point of the book is not to finish the book. The point of the book is to read the journey. And it's only going to be interesting if we're watching someone ultimately fail in order to succeed. So that's what I hope this podcast series is going to provide, is like reminding people that we're constantly in a story and that we're constantly figuring out what is our success of the moment. So yes, success is not definitive. It's not a stationary thing. It's something that's going to continuously change. It's going to continuously evolve. And it's only because of the way that we interact with our failures that that's going to be able to happen. Molly, my partner, has a theme song for me, and I keep thinking about it, and like, we're never going to use it, but I just keep thinking about it, and I think it's really funny. It's, welcome to Sharon's world, welcome to Sharon's world, she's got Bobby and George and a bed that has storage, welcome to Sharon's world, welcome to Sharon's world. Anyway, hi, I'll give you an intro. Hi, I'm Sharon Halevi. I am an abstract expressionist painter based in New York, and I'm also the lead curator and the operations manager at the Super Fair.